I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? If you've got a Bible, turn in it to Matthew 6. I almost want to say it with a German accent, and you'll find out later why. Matthew chapter 6. I want to begin a brand new series today entitled, as you can probably notice up on the back wall, Faithful Promises. Yes, that is a spinning galaxy. It's not one in particular, but it looks kind of like Andromeda. But whenever I hear Jesus in the Old Testament speaking to Abraham about his promises, he always says, Abraham, look up at the stars. And it just dawned on me that just like the stars up in heaven, have you ever had one of those revelations? Just standing out in the night skies and looking up and saying, you know what? Those are the same night stars that God told Abraham to look at. Same exact stars. Now, if you're an astronomy nerd like me, you know, due to precession, some of them are slightly in a different position than they used to be. But they're all still there, at least the ones that haven't supernovaed. Okay, now I'm really going off a track. But those are the same stars. It's the same moon. It's the same promises. And there are some promises in the Word of God that are for all of eternity. During our sermon calendar, I like to go back and forth between the different areas of the Word of God. I like to preach what they call the full counsel of God. I don't just stick in one little hobby horse section. And so I like to spend some time in the Hebrew Bible. Some call it the Old Testament. I like to spend some time in the Psalms, which we've done. I like to spend some time in the writings of the Apostle Paul, which is what we did during the full armor of God. Sometimes I like to go to the other epistles. And then there's sometimes, at least once a year, I like to go back to the Gospels. I like to go back to the stories of Jesus, because really when it comes down to it, aren't we all here just trying to find a deeper walk with Jesus? No, it's been a long summer, hasn't it? Nobody here is trying to, well, I just better pack up and go. Nobody here is trying to find a deeper walk with Jesus. I know I am. Sometimes when I walk through the Gospels, because I've read those stories so many times, I like to put different filters on. Like sometimes I like to filter through and focus on the people. We did that about a year ago called The Narrow Road, and we just focused on little vignettes in the Gospels that had to do with Jesus coming face to face with one person, those little encounters that he had that changed people's lives. There are sometimes, and this is How God Reigns, was a series I did a couple of years ago, where we went through the Gospels and began to focus on not just the things that Jesus said, but the things that he did. The actions that he did. I did one series that I walked through and just noticed all the things in the Gospels that make Jesus mad. It's an interesting study. What is it that makes Jesus mad? What were the things that really got him worked up, that really irritated him? It was very instructive, because I noticed that what he gets mad about are not the same things I always get mad about. But you can learn a lot from that. You know, in this series, what I really wanted to spend a lot of focus on is just some of the amazing things that Jesus said to us. Some of the amazing words. I started with a series on the wisdom of Christ, and Molly shifted a little bit around the campfire. I kind of pitched my ideas to her, and when I see her yawning and looking the other way, I say, okay, that's not it. I said, what about the promises of Christ? And she goes, now you're talking. I said, all right. The promises are amazing. Jesus passed on to us some of the most amazing promises. If these aren't memory verses for you, over the next several weeks this fall, I'm going to give you some amazing memory verses. I mean, these are front flap of your Bible verses. These are the ones you can write down in there that you can go to as often as possible. I say that because I inherited a couple of Bibles, and one of them was from my Grandpa Cook. And he went to Moody Bible Institute, and he studied and was never a preacher. But not only was his Bible outlined and all the margins written in, but all of the empty pages on the front part were scriptures and things that he had written down that were very important. And so you can tell just from that in his devotions, the words that really set him free. You know, is it amazing to anybody else when we read these ancient words, and they really are ancient, that they're as just alive today as they were when they were written? And then I think not only to us, but through all the centuries, how many people have been set free by the words of Jesus? The simple things that allowed him to speak into people's lives and to set them free. I just thought of a little book that my dad gave me, and I should have looked it up, but it was just kind of off the top of my head. It's called, and I'll look it up later, you could just use your phone. It's a little missionary book called The Christ of the India Road. And there was a missionary, and I can't remember the missionary's name, but he went to India to go preach the gospel. And if you know anything about India or the Eastern religions, it's about as far away from a European Christian culture. So you are going to the other side of the moon to preach the gospel of Jesus to people that may not even know what Jesus is. And in order to witness to these people that were unfamiliar with the gospel, he determined he was going to do one thing. Here was his strategy. Everywhere he went, the only things he spoke were the words of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? And he began to notice that just as the words of Jesus set people free back in his day, wherever he went and he spoke these amazing words as if he just made them up, at how those words had the power to change people's lives. I wonder if anybody's had their lives changed by the words of Jesus. And so most of these I'm going to take in chronological order, and there's no way for me to preach all of the promises of Jesus. But there's one place that happens in the Sermon on the Mount, which was an amazing collection of sermons that was given. The setting of them is along the Sea of Galilee, which is up in the northern region, and he sat down and just began to teach. I don't know if all of these sermons were in the same place. The other gospels kind of scatter them around a little bit, but Matthew puts them all in one big collection. And it's some of the most amazing. If you don't know where else to read in your Bible, read Matthew and start in chapter 5 and just keep reading. You'll find some of the most amazing things that Jesus ever said. And this is one of them. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He says this, would you read it with me? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Can I just stop right for a second? And have you ever noticed that it's not the things that are hard to understand in the Bible that give us the worst problems, but the things that are easy? I looked the word worry up in the Greek. You know what it means? Worry. Merimnate. It means to go round and round and round about something. You ever do that? Just keep spinning it around and around. He goes, stop doing that. Stop just spinning that stuff around and around. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. So he starts with very fundamental things. You and I, we got a lot bigger things to worry about than just eat and drink of what we're going to wear. But throughout all history, at least we come to that, right? We share that with people all throughout history. Lord, how are we going to provide for our basic needs? The food, the things that we drink, the things that we're going to wear. He says, it's not life more than food and the body more than clothes. Isn't it true? How much of our life do we spend thinking and worrying about things that really aren't the point of life? It isn't the end thing. And so then he says, look at the birds of the air. I don't like that translation, NIV. It's too simple. King James says, behold. Isn't that a better word? Because look just means, you know, look over there. You know, I can look at something. I can look at that microphone. Okay, who cares? But behold means, ooh. It means stare at it. Think about it. Observe it. Watch it. Take it in. Meditate on it for a second. He says, behold the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Oh, man, isn't this good? I told you, every last word, there's about 5 memory verses that I put in there so far. Can you add anything to your life by worrying? And so his first example from nature was the birds. He says, they don't worry. They just flutter around, and God feeds them. And then he uses a very Jewish, and I forget the name of it, but I'll remember it by next week. He uses a figure of speech that's like, if this is true, then how much more is this? Jesus uses that a lot. He says, if God cares for the birds of the air, he goes, you think he cares less than you than birds or more? So if he can take care of the birds, then why wouldn't he take care of you? That's where we got that great song, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And so then he says, and why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers, see how the flowers of the field grow. Once again, I like the King James better, and I don't always, but It's not just consider the flowers of the field, but King James says, if you know this phrase, consider the lilies of the field. Isn't consider a better word? He says, I don't want you just to see the flowers. I want you to consider. Stop and think about it. Those flowers in the field. He goes, they don't labor and they do not spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He does another, if not this, then how much more? And then he calls us something that is kind of an insult, but he calls his disciples it a lot, so I haven't decided. It's kind of an insult, but it's the kind of an insult that you say to a friend in love. That last word, you of little faith, is oligopistoi. It's one word. He calls his disciples that at all. It basically means, oh, you puny faiths. That's what he calls them. So, you know, it's kind of like a brotherly. He says that at the end of a parable. And he says, how much more will he clothe you, you bunch of puny faiths? And then he just kind of, they all probably snickered to themselves. And they said, he's not wrong. We do have puny faith. We always short sell him. We're always thinking that he's not going to come through. And then he does. When are we ever going to learn the lesson of the lilies? When are we going to learn to consider the lilies of the field? When are we going to start beholding the birds and realize that if God takes care of his creation, how much more does he love you? Anybody need this word of encouragement so far? Just say amen. You know, every season of our life is an opportunity for us to encourage people, encourage one another. The Bible says in Hebrews, encourage one another while it's still called today. You know, preaching for me is just one hungry beggar showing another hungry beggar where to find food. And I'm telling you, in the words of Jesus are some of the most amazing truths that you can build your life upon. And so he ends by saying, so do not worry, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So listen, he isn't saying that God doesn't care about feeding you or clothing you or taking care of your bills or helping you to do well in school or helping you to do well at work. He's not saying God doesn't care about your practical needs. He said you can stop worrying. Why? Because he already knows you need it. He already knows that. Those aren't the things that you should make the first priority when you wake up in the morning. Oh, no, what am I going to eat today? But start thinking, what is it, Lord, that you want to do through me? And then he says this, and here's the promise for today. Would you read it with me with the loud voice? He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How many quotable quotes did you just hear? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Yeah. And each day has enough trouble of its own. King Jimmy says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's not maybe better, but I like it. There's enough evil for tomorrow, isn't it? It's coming. So why not let's just understand today that God is a God that cares about us, that he's got us, and that if we put our trust in him, he's going to feed us. He's going to take care of us. He's going to fulfill us. He's going to clothe us. And so here's the word today. The first thing I want to talk about is being fed by the word. We talked about the word of God a few weeks back, remember, with the samurai sword and how important the word of God is. But in this passage, Jesus is talking about the being fed. And we know this from him. What feeds us is his word. He says we are fed by more than just food. How many know that we are spiritual beings? And so what happens to your cell phone? I tell kids this. I say, what happens to your cell phone if you don't plug it in? Does it work in the morning? You go to use it and it does not work. What happens to your remote controls when the kids steal the battery out of them? That only happened in my house. What happens to those things? What happens to your car if you don't put gas in it? It's not going to go. It's like the Chevy Nova. You know why it didn't sell very much in Mexico? Because Nova in Spanish is doesn't go. So who would buy a car that doesn't go, right? It just doesn't go. Nova. You can't get into that car or plug in that phone and just say, okay, now work. You've got to be able to charge it up. Well, so we know this about food and water. You can't go long without it. Not that we do. But you can't go long without it. You can't go very long without sleep. We know how to take care of our physical bodies. And yet we forget something. That we have a unique thing in us that God put in us from creation is that we are not only physical beings, but we're spiritual beings as well. You and I, we're more than just animals. We're more than just the top of the food chain. We're spiritual beings. We have a capacity for communion with Him. And so Jesus is reminding us that there's more to life than just food and drink. There's more to it. That life, by the way, he used an interesting word. It's not Zoe, but psuche. Zoe is usually life, but he says there's more to life. Usually the word psuche is translated soul. He says there's more to your soul than just food and drink. There's more to it. There's something spiritual, and if you don't feed your soul, you're not going to make it very far. We were meant to be dependent on greater things than just the things of this earth. And if we don't feed our spiritual beings, eventually we'll go plug it in and try to use it, and nothing's there. If you don't feed it, then you wonder, why am I dying on the inside? Because just like your car, your soul needs to be fed. This is a great opportunity, by the way. Not a guilt trip, just an encouragement. It's the part of me that's a life coach. Make an investment in your spiritual walk. You got some New Year's resolutions this fall about exercising or eating or taking care of your salt intake or whatever it is. I want to encourage you also to make a new fall resolution to make an investment in your spiritual person, in that person that gets fed by the Word of God and by spending time in fellowship. Because it's not all the things that the world offers us, all of the possessions and the wealth and all of those things, that's going to keep us fed. It's those simple things. Amen? There's a simple proverb. Proverb 30 says this. Would you read it with me? What great wise words. Jesus quoted from this one, by the way, so we know. By the way, did you know Jesus didn't have a New Testament in his Bible? His testament was the Hebrew Bible. That's why I like to go back to it a lot, because when Jesus stood up and preached on something, when he quoted the Bible, he was quoting from the Psalms and the Proverbs and the prophets. And he says this, keep falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Does that sound familiar? It's part of the Lord's Prayer. That's where Jesus got it from, by the way. He was quoting in that prayer a bunch of very biblical concepts, including one, and now we know what it means. What it means is, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Give me the sufficient that I need today. I don't need much more than that. He says, because otherwise I might have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I might become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. What a great idea. He says, you know, I don't want to be too rich because that'll make me not need the Lord anymore. And I don't want to be too poor where I get desperate and start stealing. He said, Lord, just give me my daily bread today. I just need the simple things. And it's amazing how satisfactory those simple things can be. Years ago, Molly and I were in Pennsylvania. We had a convention nearby. I forget where it was. Oh, I think it was Philadelphia. But we said, we're in Philadelphia. We need to go to Amish country. I actually have an aunt who grew up Amish, and so I knew a little bit about that culture. But it is a very American. They were Dutch Reformed, and they settled in Pennsylvania and other places, and similar to Mennonites, but different. But the Amish were Christians, but they were very old-fashioned, still are today. They only use buttons, not hooks. They don't use complex machinery like tractors. They use a horse and a plow. They famously drive a horse and buggy to town instead of driving in a car. And so we said, we got to go to Amish country. We went and had some shoe fly pie. I went and bought a horseshoe from an Amish farmer. And yes, we took a ride in a horse and buggy. It was awesome. Down the road. And this young Amish man is telling us, I'm just asking questions, so tell me about the whole culture and the story behind this. So you know, they live like they're in the 1800s or 1700s. Very old-fashioned. And I said, there's a reason for this. It's not just by accident. But they said, as soon as we have a tractor, now we can plow our field by ourselves. As soon as we've got large power equipment, we can put up a barn by ourselves. But when we're doing everything by hand, we need each other. And she goes, so that's a part of the culture. We're on purpose living in a time where we really needed to do things together, and we're preserving that culture. I thought, man, that's interesting. I didn't know that about the Amish, that that's why they were doing that. It's to keep them together. Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting we all become Amish. I like my toys. I like my machine. I'm going to put one of my toys in the river this afternoon, Lord willing, and take a bunch of teenagers and try to kill them on an inner tube. Not really. I haven't killed any of them yet. No, they survived. Yeah, I haven't killed any of them yet. But we're going to have a lot of fun. I like my toys. I don't want to be Amish, but I learned to respect something. I said, you know what? I do think, just like them, we need community. And we learned something, all of us, during the pandemic, didn't we? There's a lot of things we didn't think we could get along without that we sure can. Living that simple life isn't a bad way to live. Lord, just give me this day my daily bread. And so it's God's promises that keep us going, even when we want to quit, even when we want to give up. And it's that dependence on the Lord that keeps us coming back to Him. Jesus also quoted from this one when he was doing battle with the devil, when he was tempted in the wilderness. It's from Deuteronomy, which is a very core book in the Hebrew Bible. It says that he humbled you. That's God humbled Israel, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that what? Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Love it. And by the way, man or woman, if you are one, it is just people, human beings, we cannot live on bread alone. But he says, what I wanted to teach you, oh, I didn't put it up there. No wonder you didn't read it. Thank you. He said, I didn't teach you. He goes, I taught you. Oh, let's just read it again. It says, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. You remember when Deuteronomy was being written, the Hebrew Bible wasn't even finished. And so the word of the Lord wasn't just the words on a page and a book, but the word of the Lord was God speaking to them and guiding them, was God moving them along down the road, that we don't live by bread alone, but every word that you give us, we need that relationship with Him. And sometimes, friends, I wonder if it's just part of what we struggle with in our society is we have so much. Oh, man, this is in a class on taking a vow of poverty, but I have learned a lot from my friend Jesus DePaz and just by going on the mission field a lot. I learned it when I was a kid too. My earliest memories were in Mexico. My best friend Paco lived down at the end of a street in a little hut. We used to go down to his hut, just make mud pies and play with Hot Wheels. He didn't have much, but I saw people that can be happy without very much. One of the trips back down to Honduras, we stopped off at Power Chicken. Any Honduras mission trip people remember Power Chicken? Oh, my goodness. One of my favorite places in the world. I know it doesn't sound like a Honduran place. It's got a very American name, but it's very Honduran. It's like the, it's just like a Honduran barbecue place. And you go there and it's family style. I like when I have a team, large or small, I take them there because it's right next to the airport. And it introduces them to Honduran flavors. And so you just stand in line and you can order it family style, a big plate of Honduran rice, and they have barbecued chicken and, yuca fries, and they have the chicharrones, which are these little pork pieces that are marinated. In Mexico, those are pork rinds, but chicharrones down there are just these little marinated barbecued pork pieces, and I could eat a whole plate of them right now. And the plantains, they got the tostones, which are like potato chips, and they're savory. And then they've got the plátanos dulces, which are the sweet ones. And it's just amazing. And so Jesus always knows that I'm paying for it. So I said, he goes, what do you want, brother? I said, I don't get whatever. And he goes, all right, we'll take three of those, two of those, five of those. And by the time it comes, there's just this mega feast of food. And it wasn't very expensive, but it's just cute, and it's just amazing. I went there one day with me and Jesus and Brother Speed. Now, Brother Speed is He's an older American gentleman. He's gone home to be with the Lord now, just a few years back. But he had just somewhere in his middle ages left the comfort of his home and moved to Honduras to be a missionary, just to go serve. I mean, he was kind of a preacher, but more just of a servant. And he ended up marrying a wife there and adopting her kids and then just serving. And I remember just the most humble man. He'd come and meet us at the airport or come meet us down at the Institute and to hear his story. And, you know, he's a man that just lived on very, very humble means on purpose so that he could serve a country that didn't have much money. And when the food came, I had Jesus order again, and it was just for three of us, but it was still too much. It was a lot of food. And we prayed, and I began to dig in, and I noticed Brother Speed just got quiet. And just kind of like he was choked up. And I said, "What's the matter, Brother Speed? I see you're not hungry." He goes, "No." He goes, he had to take a moment to see all this. He goes, "Because I could feed my family for a month on this." And I just thought, wow. I said, he was just a little overwhelmed by all the food that we just ordered. Now, he began to know, and what we hadn't explained is we don't just keep it all for ourselves. What we don't eat, we give away to people all down the road. And so it's all going to go to use. We never waste it. But I just thought, Lord, there are opportunities like that in life to learn from people that are different than you, learn from people that are living different than you. And I just said, man, Lord, I think about all the food we waste, all the stuff we think we don't need, when you have supplied just what we need. That's all I need today. Just a little bit. I don't need much more than that. You ask my wife, one of my big pet peeves is wasting food. I just hate it. I hate it when the restaurant brings me too much food or when somebody brings me a big plate. I like to just go pick and choose myself, because our family motto when I was growing up was eat whatever's set before you at Thanksgiving. You clean your plate in the cook household. If we had a family crest, it would be a fork and spoon. That's just the way we were taught. Whatever comes, I don't care if it looks weird, smells weird, whatever it is. If it gets served, you eat it and you eat it all. And that's just a part of it. And so I don't know about you, but Jesus says, listen, there is more to life than just food. There is a satisfaction in coming into the house of the Lord and being fed by him, which is the most amazing gift anybody could ever give us. Amen. The second thing is filled by his spirit. There's a couple of places, especially in the Gospel of John, and especially around the Feast of Tabernacles, which was a water-bringing ceremony in Jerusalem at his time, where he talked about being the fountain of life and talked about filling us up. But he says, is life not more than food or more than drink? And so he talked about in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. There's one thing that will always satisfy you is a hunger for the things of the Lord. You'll never go away hungry. If you make your appetite set on the things of the Lord, you always come away feeling like, man, that was great. You ever had that experience at a meal? You said, man, that just really hit the spot. I feel like that every time I come away with the time from the Lord, with the Lord, is because he always fills us up. The Bible says in John 6:35, at that water ceremony, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And we know he wasn't just talking about thirsty for water or dehydration. He's talking about whoever comes after me will always have that satisfaction, will always be filled up. He always knows how to come and just bring refreshment at the very time that we need it, not only by his word, but by his Holy Spirit. He just comes and he gives us that encouragement. He just fills us up. I remember years ago, I was a youth pastor in Coquille and going through a really hard time. You ever have a discouraging time? Some of you are having a discouraging time right now. I was just feeling low. I was feeling like quitting. I was feeling like I was done. I just went through kind of a personal tragedy, and I was just really just feeling low. I was sitting in Pastor Fred's office at our staff meeting, and we were all praying, and I was just kind of sitting there, and we were just talking about ministry. And all of a sudden, Pastor Fred's phone rings, and Sharana, his wife, went and go answer it. And she says, Mike, it's your mom. I said, well, I better answer it. And I just went over to him in the middle of it, and they took a break, and I said, hello. Thought it's an emergency. Mom's calling me because there's something that she needs or something's gone wrong. And all she was there on the phone on the other end, I just kind of went, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, Yeah. All she wanted to say on the other end, she goes, I didn't need anything, Mikey. I just wanted to call and tell you how much I love you and I care about you and you're going to be just fine. That's all she called to say. I just went, Okay. Hung up the phone. Who was it? Nobody. And I just needed it. How many of you ever had just that moment when God just knew what you needed? Sent somebody into your path that was just kind enough to reach out and be responsive to the Holy Spirit. You know, you and I can be a great help to people just like that. Jesus says, anybody that comes and believes in me, they're never going to be hungry and they're never going to be thirsty. You're never going to go begging when you got a relationship with the Lord, because he's always there right when you need him. Everybody say amen? And he promises us this. He said, blessed are those. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. If we just seek after him, he always fills us up. The Lord promises us refreshment in every season of our life, including fall of 2022. Who could use a little refreshment right about now? Well, it's coming. Tired of the heat? Great. Wait a little bit, because in Oregon it always changes. I love the seasons. I really do. I love this time of year. Because just something changes and God's got something new for me. God's got something new for you. He's always got a new season for us if we just allow him to use us. The Bible says in John 7:38, Jesus promised, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. I love it. By this, he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So he explains to us what he means. Streams of water, rivers of living water will flow from within you. Not just a cup of water, but a stream. Something that never runs out. When you've got a relationship with the Lord, his Holy Spirit is like a never-ending stream. It never stops. It doesn't stop up in the winter, doesn't stop up in the summer. It's just always there. You and I might come and go. We're not always faithful like we should be, but Jesus never stops. His love and his mercy are always flowing. I have a couple of vivid memories from this summer that I'm going to put in my scrapbook. Two of my favorite times, and one of them was down on the Umpqua. We went down with Molly's family, and we just swam and fished. Well, which one? I did both at the same time. Have you ever swim fished? You know, my logic was, if you got to catch fish, you got to think like a fish. You got to get in the environment. No, I wasn't in waders up to my waist. I was up to my neck with my swimsuit. And what was cool is on the Umpqua, the water's so clear, you can see the little fishies. So I went down to Walmart and bought some goggles. And I could see them. Oh, man, that's frustrating. I could see. No wonder I'm not catching fish over there. There's no fish over there. They don't swim on that side of the rock. They swim on this side. And then I'd look at this section, and there's 15 of them right down in that hole. I said, oh, that's where I'm fishing. It got so bad. I was there, and I don't think Molly got any pictures of it, but here's me with my fishing hat on all the way in the water like this with my pole, my face down like this. Bonking them on the head with the worm. I say, eat your worm, eat your worm. But I had catch them and stuff. I don't know if that's cheating or not, but it was fun. I wasn't even trying to kill them. Mitch Hedberg said, you know, the catch and release guys, they don't want to eat the fish. They just want to make them late for something. Like, where were you? I got caught. Liar, show me the inside of your lip. That was me catch and release fishing all afternoon and all day. It was fun, 100 degrees outside of the water, but I didn't care because I was cool and I was refreshed. Did you get refreshed this summer? You know, there was a second time that involved a river. Was down on the Malala at kids camp. I go down there at the kids camp and I was shooting all the videos and all that stuff. I said, I got a half an hour to shoot the videos and then I got an hour and a half to swim. Because the Malala River is only about this deep. And so I got to take two steps and dive because I can't walk around much like that. You know, and I was diving up there up to my neck in the river and all these little kids would come up to me. Are you standing up? I said, no, I'm on my knees. But I was just like this, floating in the river, watching these kids play, watching them splash, watching them catch crawdads, watching them just have a blast. And I said, all right, now this is the kind of fishing that I like to do. Now we're fishing for kids. Now we know what the real goal of this whole thing is. Is this is how I came to know the Lord. And man, Lord, if you give us the ability to do it, these kids are going to swim, they're going to play, and they're going to meet Jesus all in the same week. They're going to have a great time. Two of my best times. I got to tell you, I think I was making an investment, but I was getting filled up. The 10-year-old kid, camp kid in me was getting filled up to the brim with just this is exactly what, Lord, you've called us to be about. Amen. Jesus says, listen, if you go out to try to fill up that hole in your soul with the things of the world, you're going to end up empty and hungry. If you keep trying to fill up that hole in your soul with the things of the world, it's always going to leave you with a bad taste in your mouth. It's always going to leave you just kind of dehydrated. But if you fill up that hole in your soul with the things of the Lord, he said, you're always going to be fulfilled. He's always going to fill you up. Amen. The last thing is this, is that we are clothed by his splendor. And so Jesus uses three very practical things, eating, drinking, and clothing. And he tells a couple of parables from nature about these things. But how many know he wasn't really talking about birds? He wasn't really talking about flowers. He was talking about what fills us up spiritually. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you also. How many remember that song? It was a song when I was growing up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of those promises that come with that song. But he's just reminding us, listen, he will clothe us with his splendor. He said, Solomon in all his splendor wasn't adorned as such as these. But God has clothed us. Without his covering in our life, we really are chasing after an illusion. There's a part in Isaiah 61. This is a part of the great gospel of Isaiah, I call it, that promises us a restoration. It's a prophecy for all of history. When Jesus stood up in Nazareth and preached his first sermon, he read from Isaiah 61. But at part of it, it just gives us this great promise. Would you read it with me? It says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. I just love it that God has clothed us, not just with the physical clothes that we wear, but he's given us a clothing. He's covered us over, and he's given us his own glory where we lacked it. Friends, if we could just learn how to find our satisfaction in him, we'd be satisfied all the time. It's when we turn aside from him and look to other things that we start to starve ourselves. And so once again, Jesus is just promising us always that if we would just seek after him, we'd always be fulfilled. And it reminded me, I have a movie clip this morning, and you're not going to believe me, that I already had the title of the sermon and the entire sermon written until just this morning I remembered this clip. And it's from a movie entitled, believe it or not, The Lilies of the Field. I don't know if you ever saw it, 1963 movie. It was Sidney Poitier, who was the first African-American man to ever win an Academy Award for this movie. It's a great story. It's about a guy named Homer Smith. And he's driving his station wagon in Arizona. It runs out of water. And so he stops off at this little monastery and runs into some German and Hungarian nuns. And talk about an odd couple, but has this? They ask him in exchange for helping fix his car if he would help fix the roof, and then he spends the rest of the movie trying to get paid. Well, not the rest of the movie, but at first he thinks he needs to be remunerated for his work, and the problem is he ran into a nun that knew the Bible better than him. So just watch this scene for a second.
I'll read it to you in English. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Now, that's not exactly what I had in mind, but you get the idea. What you got there? Proverbs 1:4. Cast in thy lot amongst us. Let us all have one purse. Look, I am a poor man. I've got to work for wages. Now, I can't work for...
Matthew, chapter 6. 2, 8, 2, 9.
Matthew, chapter 6, 2, 8, 2, 9.
Schmidt, read it in English.
Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, not even Solomon in all his glories was arrayed as one of these.
Consider the lilies.
What's that?
You go to bed. Tomorrow Sunday is... The mass in town is 9 by the clock.
I'm a Baptist. I don't go to mass.
We go.
Well, how'd you get there before I came along?
We walk every Sunday. Now we got you.
Now, you ain't got me.
Good night, Schmidt.
Now, get that very straight.
Schlafen Sie wohl,
and cut that out.
Bless you, Schmidt.
I like how she calls him Schmidt instead of Smith. But you know your goose is cooked when you're up against a nun with a big giant Bible and knows how to use it, you know, knows where all the good verses are. But I got to tell you, for thousands and thousands of years, think about how many brothers and sisters, think about how many men and women of faith in good seasons and in very poor seasons have turned to these amazing, powerful words of Jesus and remembered, if God can care for the birds of the air, he can care for you. If God can adorn the lilies of the field, then he can care for you. The lilies of the field, he cares for them. And so what is it that we're going through today that we can't get through as long as Jesus is on our side? Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. Will you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your words. Lord, they are eternal. Lord, you said heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never fail. And they never have. You've been faithful to our parents and our parents' parents and all those that went before us. And you're going to be faithful to our kids and our grandkids and all those that come behind us. We thank you, Lord God, for your provision. We thank you, Lord God, that in you there's nothing that we lack. And we just give you all the praise today. Friends, while every head's bowed and every eye is closed, can I just ask you at the beginning of this brand new season, there are seasons of my life that I've just needed to come back to him and rededicate my life, or rededicate something to him. Maybe I've been worrying too much and not praying enough. And so today I just want to invite you, this is a great season, to just say, Lord, I'm giving it all to you again. I'm putting it all back on the altar. I'm giving it to you and dedicating it to you this new school year, this new job season. I'm giving it, give it all to you this year. If that's you, would you just do something brave and look up at me for a moment? Is there anybody like that? Amen, sister. Amen. I see you. Anybody else? Praise God. Amen, sister. Amen. Praise God. I agree with you about it. Yes, man. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen, amen. Oh, Jesus. Friends, will you just all stand? If you're able to, would you stand to your feet and grab somebody's hand together and pray with us if you're at home? Let's just make this a prayer of dedication today, can we? Say this with me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean. And write my name in the book of life. Everything that I am and everything that I have is on the altar before you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering today. Just praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I love all of you so much. Have a wonderful day. Happy Labor Day.